air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. Donal Kavanagh at the Highland Radio News Desk. The taxpayer is set to pay massive costs of district court sittings for the failed prosecution of more than 150 summonses for illegal fishing on the Gwibara River. The cases were dropped because the Attorney General decided that an effect in legislation prevented Inland Fisheries Ireland proceeding with the prosecutions. We'll have a report from the court. A member of the Police Service of Northern Ireland has been appointed a Garda superintendent. Concerns are raised about the impact works on the outskirts of Letterkenny will have on traffic coming to and from West Donegal. And a Louth man who plotted an explosion during a state visit to Ireland by Britain's Prince Charles in 2015 will be sentenced next month for directing a terrorist organisation. And later in the bulletin, on what is a hugely important night for the FAI and the Irish football team, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. Kenny's coming up at around 5:15. The taxpayer is set to pay massive costs of district court sittings for the failed prosecution of more than 150 summonses for illegal fishing on the Gwibara River. The cases were dropped because the Attorney General decided a defect in legislation prevented Inland Fisheries Ireland proceeding with the prosecutions. Many of them dated back to 2008. Trish Laverty has this report.
Judge Paul Kelly was asked at Dunloe District Court today to rule on costs. He said the case had been in court for a considerable period of time since February 2015, before the Attorney General's decision last March. The prosecution, he noted, was withdrawn at a very late stage. If Inland Fisheries Ireland hadn't the power to prosecute, then the judge said the case shouldn't have been brought before the courts. The defence had incurred significant expense. The judge said his decision on costs is no way related to the merits of the case itself. He had not been called on to decide the issue of fishing rights on the river, which were before higher courts. He made an order for costs in the case of all the defendants charged with illegal fishing and adjourned the hearing to March 13th to permit the prosecution and defence agree the amount of costs.
A member of the Police Service of Northern Ireland has been appointed as a Garda superintendent. The Taoiseach made the announcement in the Dáil this afternoon. Leo Radker said this is an example of the reform being made in An Garda Síochána.
A memo was brought to the Cabinet this morning by the Minister for Justice to give the policing authority approval for the first time to appoint a superintendent of the Gardaí who is a member of the PSNI. And that is a very practical example of reform underway. For the first time, somebody from an outside police force being appointed to a senior position in the Gardaí.
Concerns have been expressed about the potential impact of works on the outskirts of Letterkenny on traffic to and from West Donegal. Councillor Seamus O'Donnell says planned works for the four-lane stretch between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabouts in Letterkenny will impact on traffic from West Donegal, as will work on the N56 at Bluebanks between Letterkenny and Kilmacrenan. Councillor O'Donnell says he believes the timing of the scheduled works on the four-lane stretch in particular should be reassessed.
I would be of the belief that it should happen after the Bonnygee link. I think that effort should be redoubled by our Oireachtas members and by Donegal County Council to try to get the Bonnygee link up and running. And then any works needed to the four lane could be done, because there's approximately 30,000 cars use that road on a daily basis. If we close down that route to a single lane in and a single lane out, well then therefore it will only have half the carrying capacity and will cause massive backlogs and mayhem, particularly when we think that there is also plans afoot for the Blue Banks work, which is very welcome to start in the next number of weeks and months. That will mean that going into Letterkenny from the west of the county, there will be tailbacks, and leaving Letterkenny, there will also be tailbacks, which could add anything up to 2 hours to a journey if somebody come from West Donegal trying to get through Letterkenny.
And it's important to note that you're not discouraging these works going ahead, but just to consider the timing of them.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I very much welcome the Blue Banks works. Representations have been made from this municipal district and indeed from all over the county, and it's very, very welcome. Now, the four-lane works, I would be somewhat sceptical of the timing of those works, particularly when we think of the impact that any such works may have on businesses in and around Letterkenny, particularly when we think that there is also a water mains to come in that road. There doesn't seem to be any cohesion that both should happen at the one time. It will discourage people from going to Letterkenny. And we should be doing everything we can as a county and as a council to encourage people to go into our premier town, that being Letterkenny, rather than discouraging them because of roadworks that could cost massive jobs, cost massive financial burden, which could last for 2 to 3 years.
And that was Councillor Seamus O'Donnell speaking there to Michaela Clark. Health Minister Simon Harris has given the go-ahead for a new consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital to assist in the care of diabetes patients. Government Chief Whip Joe McHugh has confirmed a second endocrinologist at the hospital has been approved by the Independent Consultant Application Advisory Committee. Minister McHugh has praised the work of the Donegal branch of Diabetes Ireland for their advocacy for the position, which he says is hugely important for the care of diabetes patients in Donegal. He says arrangements are being made to advertise for the position, and it's important that this happens sooner rather than later. Minister McHugh is urging the HSE to ensure it provides whatever support staff are necessary. Meanwhile, the Health Minister has claimed fewer patients have been left on trolleys across the country this month than over the same period last year, but the figure at Letterkenny University Hospital has increased. There were 23 people without inpatient beds at the hospital this morning, bringing the total so far this month to 249. That's 12.6% up on the same period last year. Simon Harris has quoted a national figure which shows a decrease of 911 across the country. He says that is encouraging.
The figures have been below the corresponding day last month, and these are figures published on the HSE website daily. There's been 911 fewer patients on hospital trolleys this month so far, according to the same period last month. So I'm encouraged by that, but I'm also very aware that we are coming into a very challenging winter period. I would echo my message to everybody to get the flu vaccine. There's an awful lot of colds and the likes going around. It's really important people actually do prepare for the flu.
A Louth man who plotted an explosion during the state visit of Britain's Prince Charles in May of 2015 will be sentenced next month for directing the activities of a terrorist organisation. 63-year-old Seamus McGrain of Little Road in Drumiskin was arrested after Gardaí bugged a pub in Dublin to listen to his conversations. The plot related to the state visit during which Prince Charles spent time at Monaghmore in County Sligo. With more, here's Stephanie Grogan.
Prince Charles came to Ireland on a high-profile state visit in May 2015. The court heard a month before that Gardaí installed a surveillance device at the Coachman's Inn in North Dublin to listen into the conversations of the accused Seamus McGrain. Two audio recordings were made where the accused and another man could be heard discussing the manufacturing of explosives. They made reference to a main event and that the target must be symbolic and have military significance. The accused was arrested in May 2015. His home and a number of properties were searched, where a significant amount of explosive material was found. McGrain went on trial before the Special Criminal Court in October and was convicted of directing the activities of Óglaigh na hÉireann between April and May 2015 and for unlawful membership of the IRA between 2010 and 2015. He has two previous convictions, including one for training people at an IRA camp which was discovered in an underground bunker in Meath. McGrain will be sentenced on December the 7th.
One of the lead investigations in a Sligo murder case has told the Central Criminal Court the way the victim's body was found appeared to have been staged. Keith Brady of Cartron Estate in Sligo admits killing a local musician in 2015, but denies his murder, claiming he didn't intend to hurt him. With more, here's Frank Graney.
When Gardaí arrived at Martin Matt Cavelin's home on Holborn Street in Sligo Town on August 3rd, 2015, Sergeant Kieran Diffley told the jury the apartment appeared to have been ransacked, but he said there were no signs of forced entry. Mr. Cavelin's body was found lying on the floor of his living room. He said he could see a wound on the left-hand side of the 59-year-old musician's neck and his arm lay diagonally across his chest. On closer inspection, Detective Garda Fiona Maguire said there was a steak knife under his right hand. She said he wasn't gripping it, and Sergeant Diffley said it appeared to have been staged. The knife was shown to the jurors this afternoon. It had a 3-inch blade. A larger bread knife taken from the scene was also shown to them. 30-year-old Keith Brady has pleaded guilty to Mr. Kivlin's manslaughter, but not guilty to his murder. Frank Graney, the Central Criminal Court.
The High Court has ordered Donegal waste collector Jim Ferry to allow the Environmental Protection Agency enter his land to investigate an illegal dump with a view to it being cleaned. It also directed that Ferry must pay all costs involved and be invoiced for them on a monthly basis if necessary. Orders were issued yesterday by the High Court at the request of Donegal County Council. Journalist with the Irish Times, Peter Murtha, was in court yesterday and spoke on today's 9 till noon show.
You know, I think ultimately what you may find is that the whole property is just seized by the state in lieu of the debts this man has accumulated. You know, it has to be remembered that all of this money that, first of all, was taken from people to provide a service which was not delivered and pocketed by ferries companies, all of the money is going to cost to clean up this mess. That all has to be paid for by the taxpayer.
Detectives at Strand Road in Derry are appealing for information after two viable pipe bomb type devices were recovered during a security alert in the Waterside area of the city yesterday. Police responded to a report of two suspicious objects in the Montgomery Close area at around 1:30. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
In a statement, Detective Inspector Lindsay Fisher said that an operation was immediately put in place to secure the area, with a section of the Ross Downey Road closed for a number of hours to ensure the safety of the public whilst inquiries were conducted. The ATO were tasked to the scene and the objects have since been declared viable and taken away for further forensic examination. Police are urging the public to remain vigilant. If anyone finds anything suspicious, please don't touch it and phone police immediately. They're also appealing to anyone who witnessed anything suspicious in the area of Montgomery Close leading up to this event, specifically late in the evening of Saturday, to contact detectives at Strand Road Criminal Investigation Branch on the non-emergency number 101.
There are calls for Donegal County Council to ensure more resources are put in place in order for an application for the proposed greenway from Letterkenny to Burton Port to be submitted. Councillor Mary Trace Gallagher says there's huge tourism potential in West Donegal and the council needs to exhaust all resources in order to reach its full potential. Councillor Gallagher is also calling for a tourism officer to be designated for the Glenties Municipal District. She says West Donegal needs opportunities for youth retention and for people to resettle in the area.
There's a bit of progress been happening as the Burton Port to Letterkenny Greenway. We have to ensure that we get this project over the line. We need resources, and what we're getting today is an assurance from Donegal County Council that no stone will be left unturned and an application will be in with the department to secure proper funding to get it over, you know, to get a proper job done on it.
And you've also called for a tourism officer to be designated to this municipal district.
Yeah, we have an awful lot to offer. We're probably one of the nicest parts of the world. We have very unique qualities, linguistic. We have the largest Gaeltacht in the country. And we have beaches and hills and glens and rivers and lakes and everything else. And I think that a short-term focus on West Donegal will actually enable us to look at youth retention, giving opportunities for our people who are away to come home and maybe open that business. And that's really what we're here as councillors to do, to ensure that we enable people to have better lives here at home.
And Councillor Seamus O'Donnell said that this is the largest stretch of the Wide Atlantic Way, so there is huge tourism potential.
There's huge potential, but we need resources, we need investment, and that's our job to ensure that we get that investment. But we will keep fighting to get it, but I think that having that resource directly employed here in Dunloe would definitely help.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new O'Neill's Donegal Slaney range in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 60 minutes past 5 o'clock and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Good evening, thanks Donal. Starting with soccer, and for the Republic of Ireland tonight, the equation could not be more simple. Beat Denmark and they're going to next year's World Cup. The playoffs deadlocked after Saturday's goalless first leg in Copenhagen. David Myler's expected to come into the Irish midfield tonight. He's aching to bridge a 16-year gap between World Cups.
I spoke before about, you know, I have memories of the 94 World Cup run around the house in Ireland top, you know, and obviously to be 90 minutes away from qualifying for a World Cup is huge. Looking back, like, you look at the sacrifices I had to put through, and to be at this opportunity, obviously, you know, to be 90 minutes away from World Cup is huge. And obviously I don't want to let it go, none of us do, and we want to qualify, so we will do everything in our power to make sure we qualify.
Well, former Republic of Ireland manager Brian Kerr has been speaking, and he says he expects this evening's match to be quite a tense encounter.
It's such a huge prize for the winner tonight that I think there will still be very much an element of caution. But I think the onus is on Martin O'Neill's team to play a more expansive game than they played on Saturday.
Yes, a big game tonight for Ireland. Kick-off at the Aviva, 7:45. Elsewhere tonight, Noel King's under-21s, they'll look to protect a top spot in a European qualifying Group 5 this evening. Derry City's Ronan Curtis and Rory Hale, they're both in the squad. They're away to Norway. Kick-off time is 6 o'clock, so not too long away until that one gets underway. And in other news, Northern Ireland football bosses are reportedly planning to offer manager Michael O'Neill a new contract. It's thought the IFA are keen to tie him down to a new deal following reported interest from Rangers, Scotland and the USA. O'Neill, whose current deal runs until 2020, guided the national team to an impressive run in the 2016 European Championships, and they narrowly missed out on a place on next year's World Cup. There's several interesting international friendlies down for decision tonight. England, they face Brazil at Wembley. Surprise World Cup qualifiers, Panama, they visit Cardiff for a meeting with Wales, while world champions Germany, they take on France in Cologne. Back at home in some other news, one of the cornerstones of Cork City's recent successes has signed a new deal with the club. Goalkeeper Mark McNulty has signed a new 2-year deal to stay at Turner's Cross. McNulty saved the penalty that set up Cork's FAI shoot-up win over Dundalk earlier this month. In the Irish Premier League tonight, there's one game down for decision. Glentoran, they play Glenavon. In Gaelic Games, the draw for next year's Ulster Minor Football Championship took place last night. Under the new under-17 structure, the championship gets underway in April and will be kept separate from the senior championship. Donegal have been drawn at home to Tyrone in the quarterfinals on Saturday the 28th of April. The two sides clashed in last year's Buncrana Cup final with Tyrone running out winners. Whoever comes through that game will meet the victors from the Antrim Fermanagh quarterfinal. That'll be in the semi-finals. On the other side of the draw, in the preliminary round, Derry, they take on Monaghan on Saturday the 21st of April, with the winners progressing to a quarter final against Cavan. If Derry come through those two games, they'll play Down or Armagh in the semi-finals, and a backdoor system will be introduced for the minors next year, so counties will get at least two games. In the College's Rafferty Cup quarter-final today, St Union's defeated Our Lady's Castle Blaney. It was 1-12 to 1-9. Dylan Duggan got the goal for St Union's. They were all square, 1-6 apiece at half-time. In other Gaelic Games news, Páirc Árinn has been selected as the venue for the Munster Club Senior Football Championship final between Dr Crokes and Nemo Rangers. A coin toss decided the defending All-Ireland champions will travel to Leaside for the provincial decider on the 26th of November. In rugby, the Irish rugby squad continued their build-up for the November test against Fiji at Carlton House today. Back row forward Sean Reedy and Jordy Murphy will be among those training with Joe Smith's men. They've been called up as replacements for the injured Tommy O'Donnell and Dan Levy. And Wales and Scarlet centre Jonathan Davis could miss all of next year's Six Nations after being ruled out for up to 6 months. He needs an operation on the ankle injury he picked up in their autumn test defeat to Australia at the weekend. Head coach Warren Gatland's already called up Harlequin's Jamie Roberts as a replacement. In boxing, Katie Taylor's first WBA World Lightweight title defence will come just 7 weeks after winning the belt. The brave fighter will put her title on the line against American Jessica McCaskill at London's York Hall on December the 13th. The fight will be McCaskill's first outsider native Chicago. And world champion Anthony Joshua says he won't avoid dangerous opponents in an effort to preserve his unbeaten record. Fellow world champion Deontay Wilder's accused him of dodging a heavyweight unification bout. Joshua's won all 20 of his professional fights, every one by knockout. He says he's planning on fighting the American next year and isn't worried about losing.
Even the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali and Foreman's and Jack Johnson's and these guys, at some stage, they've taken a loss. Losing my O will never hold me back from competition because I thrive off it and it only makes you a better person in the long run.
In tennis, fans hoping to see Rafa Nadal in London later this week, they're out of luck after he pulled out of the season-ending ATP World Tour Finals. He's still not recovered from a knee injury. The world number one lost his opening match of this week to Belgium's David Goffin. And finally, for this evening, in athletics, Mo Farah says he'll only run the marathon in the 2020 Olympics if he feels he can win a medal. He's been retained on British Athletics Performance Programme, opening up the possibility he could again represent Team GB. That's all your sport for this evening. And the next sport here in Highland will be after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Donal.
Thank you, Kenny. A loophole which allows landlords raise rent after refurbishing a property is set to be closed. The housing charity Threshold has said up to 12% of tenancies are ended by landlords using renovations as the reason. DAFT's latest rental report shows a greater than 11% increase in rent in the past year. The housing minister, Owen Murphy, says he's working on a definition of substantial renovation to close the loophole.
As I announced in September, I'll be bringing forward a definition. We're at the final phases of clarifying that at the moment to close that loophole. And if that needs to be put on legislative footing, we'll do that as well.
Serious concerns have been raised over reports that beef will be included in the final deal between the EU and South American Mercosur countries. Fianna Fáil spokesperson on agriculture and Donegal deputy Charlie McConnellogue says any such move could have a potentially catastrophic impact on the Irish beef sector and threaten the quality of produce entering the EU market. Deputy McConnellogue is calling on the Taoiseach and Irish representatives to strongly oppose any deal which could, he says, sacrifice the livelihoods of Irish farmers.
Certainly at the moment they have not been opposing it. The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has not been strong on this in Europe, and despite the fact that Minister Michael Creed is issuing statements domestically here outlining concern, that's of no use unless Ireland actually takes a hard line on the beef offering as part of the Mercosur negotiations at European level. Whenever the Taoiseach met with Prime Minister Macron in France recently, neither of them took a hard stance in relation to this. And while it is the role of the European Commission to actually make the offerings, ultimately this deal has to be approved by all member states. So they wouldn't be making offerings in relation to beef unless they were getting a nod and a wink from all the governments that they will back it at the end of the day. That's simply not good enough, and Ireland needs to take a hard line right now before these negotiations proceed any further to ensure that beef doesn't become part of any final agreement.
And business owners in Strabane are reportedly at the end of their tether after a high level of antisocial behaviour in the town centre in recent weeks. Large groups of teenagers aged between 13 and 18 are said to be congregating on Friday and Saturday nights, setting bins alight, vandalising cars and property, and threatening staff in businesses. Capital Street, home to a number of local businesses, is said to be worst affected. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says more police patrols and CCTV would be a start in curbing the problem.
This is an ongoing issue. It's something I've spoken about at great length over the last number of weeks and months, and it's something that we are proactively tackling and doing our best to put an end to. In the last number of weeks, there's been huge discussions about bringing about CCTV into the town centre. That is something that is now at a serious level. It's something that the council must buy into alongside the bids programme that operates within the town centre. I know that there's been an agreement to put some money and investment into that, and also from the council. So that's one element of how they'll tackle it. And also in relation to various meeting points, such as alleyways and others. And the third is more frequent surveillance by the PSNI.
I'm sure as it stands, though, the level of antisocial behaviour is probably putting people off actually coming into the town centre and shopping there.
Well, my message would be that the small minority of individuals need to realise that this is their town. This is an area they need to take pride in. This is an area where they will be looking for work someday. This is an area that will bring up their own families. And this is the place that we all emerge from, and we need to take pride in it. We need to sell what's best about it, and they are not helping.
And that was West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan. Looking at the weather forecast, it'll be misty tonight with some patches of drizzle, but clear spells will develop as the night goes on. Some dense patches of fog and a grass frost will form under the clear skies. Lowest temperatures 3 to 5 degrees Celsius in light and variable winds. Misty tomorrow at the start with fog slowly clearing. The rest of tomorrow mostly cloudy with some patches of drizzle and just the odd bright spell. Highest temperatures 10 or 11 degrees Celsius in light or moderate south to southeast winds. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Looking at the closing headlines. The taxpayer is set to pay massive costs of district court sittings for the failed prosecutions of more than 150 summonses for illegal fishing on the Gwibara River. Costs were awarded to the defence in Dunlow District Court today. A member of the PSNI has been appointed, a Garda superintendent. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar announced this afternoon that the appointment has been upheld. Concerns have been raised over the impact works on the outskirts of Letterkenny will have on West Donegal. Councillor Seamus O'Donnell says the planned works on the four-lane stretch between Polestar and Dry Arch and works on the N56 at Blue Banks between Letterkenny and Kilmacrenan could have a serious impact on traffic from West Donegal. He says the four-lane works should be postponed until after the Bonagie link is built. And Health Minister Simon Harris has given the go-ahead for a new consultant at Letterkenny Hospital to assist in the care of diabetes patients. Back with news again at 7. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 14th of November. The death has taken place at the Remilton Nursing Unit of Dan Curran, Clondevadog, Church Hill. Viewing this evening at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 6 o'clock until 7:30. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock to arrive at St. Columbkills Church, Glendowen, for 6:30, reposing overnight. Requiem Mass on Thursday morning at 11, followed by burial in Garton Cemetery. The sudden death has occurred of Desi Kelly, 4 Heather Drive, Calhame, Mountain Top, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass on Thursday morning at 10 in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, with interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Conmac Dadan Sons funeral directors. The death has taken place at Remilton Community Hospital of Daniel Gibbons, Drumfad, Kerry Keel. His remains are reposing at his late residence with rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to Massmount Church, Fanad, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Remilton Community Hospital, care of Dunleavy Funeral Directors. The sudden death has taken place of Paul O'Kane, 20 Eden Road, Park, County Derry. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow to St Mary's Church, Alton Ewer, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. And the death has occurred of John Boyle, Mina Halla, Glendies, and formerly of Glengesh, Ardra. His remains are reposing at his late residence at Mina Halla, Glendies. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardra, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight. Family flowers only, please. Inquiries to Derek McCabe, Funeral Director, Ardra.